Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The opening night of the 2025 AFL Draft has wrapped. We're here lurking in the corridors at Marvel Stadium, the Code Sports team. I've got our draft experts, Chris Kavanagh and Dan Batten, with us. Pick one went as expected. Willem Dersma made his way to West Coast. Richmond was probably the biggest variable on the night when we were looking at the phantom drafts that these two were putting together. It was what the Tigers would do with those early picks, and Cav going for Sam Cumming and Sam Grill. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, well, we had Sam Cumming and then Sullivan Roby as our two in our last Phantom draft yesterday. We thought that was the way the Tigers were going to go. They sprung a surprise early and ended up going with Sam Cumming and Sam Grill, as you said. So Sam Cumming, they think, is the prototypical midfielder. He can also go forward and have an impact, but he's just strong, combative, powerful player. As I said, he's pretty exciting for the Tigers. And then you've got Sam Grill, who really impressed him during his VFL performance later in the year and just brings a lot of speed to that mix as well. So that's 9 top 30 picks in 2 years for Richmond, which just turbocharges a rebuild under Adam Uzay and gets the Tigers right ahead of the pack as Tasmania prepares to come in.
He looks like a gem, Sam Cumming. He was very emotional when he was picked up. There were some really nice scenes there. I had a look at Essendon afterwards. They went for Sullivan Roby, the biggest bolter in the draft, with pick 9. Then at 10, a bit of a surprise, Jacob Farrow. I think we thought that Xavier Taylor might be the option there, but instead they've gone for a different rebounding defender. So that had a bit of a ripple effect. Melbourne went next, took Xavier Taylor. And then the biggest surprise of the night, Dan.
Yes, that was Latrell Pickett being handed his jumper by Cozzy Pickett. He snuck in the back door here at Marvel Stadium with a late invite to the draft. Flew in to Melbourne on Wednesday. He'd already been here from Friday to Monday meeting with clubs, including Essendon. So he was in the mix there for Essendon's pick that ended up being pick 13. But Melbourne ended up striking first. And yeah, it was just, he spoke afterwards and he was really just lost for words. And he followed a pretty similar path to one of his good mates, Isaiah Dudley from Fremantle, who had been highly touted in his draft year and didn't quite make it. A couple of years later, had a crack at Fremantle, was an SSP, and had a real breakout year this year. So Latrell saw that and just thought, you know, why can't that be me? And Jason Taylor said that the D's have been tracking him for a good 2.5 years, just watching him and knew that he always had the talent, but it was just a matter of him growing up and maturing. And Latrell admitted that himself, that, you know, he hadn't quite had that growth within himself, but now was absolutely ready to attack it. And I guess probably the one thing that was surprising about the D's was them not going a midfielder, but many others had been selected just before. I asked Jason Taylor whether he saw Xavier Taylor as a midfielder, as some might, but he actually doesn't. He just thinks he's a quality player and he'll slot across as halfback, could even potentially push forward as well later into his career, but has that spunk, that, you know, that confidence that he really loved, and obviously a really smooth mover as well. So a nice combination there for the D's to add to Xavier Lindsay and Harvey Langford, who they got last year.
That could be really something, watching two Picketts run around in the forward line for Melbourne next year at times, I imagine. So Melbourne not taking Dyson Sharp might have surprised a few teams, and that caused a bit of interest in pick 13. Essendon held it. I think they were hoping that Dyson Sharp would get through to that selection, but there were a couple of other clubs sniffing around. Adelaide made several offers to the Bombers. Matt Rosa confirmed to us earlier there were two clubs sniffing around. We know Adelaide was one of them, but the Bombers got their man. Dyson Sharp, a midfielder who can play straight away, Cav.
Yeah, I really like him. He had a massive under-18 national championships as a captain of South Australia. He's ready to play round one next year, as you say. He's been playing senior football for a couple of years over there in South Australia already. But I think he can impact in the midfield, and he's also quite good when he goes forward to rotate as well. So he's a great pickup for them.
And a Supercoach lock, I reckon, Supercoach. You pretty much slot him into your round one team right now.
Shout out to our super coaches out there. Pick 14 excited me. That was GWS trading up, executing a little pick swap with Hawthorn, going two picks up, only to bid on Harry Kyle from Sydney and suck some extra draft points out of the Swans.
Very cheeky. And I recall, you know, just a couple of years ago, Harry Rowson, GWS Academy product, being bidded on by Sydney. And, you know, you could hear the laughter from all of the club recruiters here at Marvel Stadium that night. I'm sure they were doing the same. There were some smirks on the face of recruiting manager Adrian Caruso, the Giants recruiters in there. But they did seriously rate him. It wasn't just a cheeky little dig at their crosstown rivals. They seriously did rate him, and they went for the next halfback on their talent board, which was Oscar Taylor, and they've been strongly linked to him, strongly linked to Latrell Pickett as well, but obviously he was off the board at the Demons. So it's almost a prototype Giants pick, isn't it, Oscar Taylor? Another sort of running halfback, a little bit underdeveloped. They love those types. But Oscar Taylor certainly has the speed and the ball use and the ability to stop forwards that can make him a pretty quality player in time.
Perfect for the Orange Tsunami, isn't he?
Absolutely.
We'll get to Gold Coast bids in a second, but just on that, the bid for Harry Kyle, did Sydney effectively then have to choose between him and Lachie Carmichael, who we saw go to the Bulldogs?
Well, they have in the end, because they've let Carmichael go, so the Bulldogs bid on him at pick 21 in the end, and Sydney chose not to match it. Of course, Sydney still got Max King to get through the door as another academy prospect, which will happen tomorrow night. He didn't get a bid tonight. So, they had to let one of them go, and Carmichael was one that they let.
And I think the other fascinating thing there for the Dogs, they've been really strongly linked to Josh Lindsay, and he went the pick before, also did some late work on Oscar Taylor, who went obviously to the Giants a few picks earlier. So I guess it's the next halfback on their board. And, you know, some thought that maybe Lachie Carmichael was probably a bit too early for them first round, but obviously with those two off the board, it then, brought him up into the equation.
And there were nine bids tonight. In the end, there was just the two that weren't matched, and that was Carmichael was one, and then the last pick of the night was Adam Suade to Fremantle. So Essendon NGA prospect, the Bombers chose not to match a bid on him, which we thought was going to be hard for them after they've traded up to get pick nine in the end. So.
And we were kicking themselves, and I can probably put my hand up here. We were tossing and turning whether to include Adam Suade to Fremantle when we were doing our phantom draft, and I did opt to play safe, and regretting that now. So, 1 point to Cav there.
He's a nice fit for them at the Dockers. They probably needed some extra talent in that half-forward area. When Sam Switkowski got injured at the end of last season, they looked like, they probably just need another quality option in there that can go between the midfield and the forward line, be that conduit. So that's a good move. Some wheeling and dealing from Hawthorn again afterwards with West Coast to let the Eagles go in and have a crack at their Gold Coast Academy players that they wanted, and Gold Coast were able to match both those bids.
They have, yes. So West Coast went back-to-back bid at pick 17 and 18, Jai Murray and Bo Adinsel. We thought that Jai Murray they would match, and then Adinsel they might let go through because it's hard for them to get them all these Academy boys in. In the end, they've done a lot of pick swaps tonight, which have helped them get a few extra points. They might do some more pick swaps tomorrow, which might save them going into deficit for next year, which would be a great result to end up getting the four that they got in tonight in Zeke Ewland, Dan Annibal, and as we said, Jai Murray and Bo Adinsel. And then if they get Kobe Coulson through the door tomorrow night, they get all five in. It's a remarkable effort from the Suns.
Yeah, I think it's also fascinating watching the coming years as well with all the midfield talent they've had from the academy. You look at Leo Lombard, Jake Rogers, Kobe Coulson, even an inside midfielder, and Bo Adinsel, with Matt Rowell, Anderson already there. Then something's going to have to give. And I think, you know, although in the short term a lot of people are shaking their fists that the Suns are able to do this, I think overall in time that clubs across the competition are going to benefit from the time that the Suns have put into these players, because they can't have them all. They can't keep them all because they're all sort of in that sort of midfield forward role.
I think there'll still be a relationship between West Coast and Gold Coast after tonight. I think the Eagles, they've really wanted to hurt the Suns. They could have put a bid on for Dylan Patterson after they went for Zeke Ewland. So they mustn't have had as much interest in Patterson, because that would have helped them get Adinsel or Murray if they'd had a proper crack.
Yep.
Just in terms of tomorrow night, whose names are still on the board that are jumping out at you as North Melbourne prepares to take that first pick tomorrow night?
Yeah, so a player that had been linked to a few clubs in the later in the first round is Blake Threadgold, a Sturt key defender, has drawn comparisons to Harris Andrews with his leap and intercept ability. He's one that has been pretty strongly linked to North Melbourne, and you know he'd certainly be in their mix for that first selection. Archie Ludwig, another one if they're after that key forward. They went Lockie Duveston up the top after trading up for Carlton's pick 11. So you'd think a tall would be in the mix for them, and Threadgold and Ludwig are certainly a couple of the top ones left. Louis Emmett as well, a ruck forward from the Oakley Chargers, could be a contender for them or potentially the Bulldogs at the selection after them.
Anyone else, Cav, you expected to be taken tonight, maybe that will still be there tomorrow?
Yeah, well, Jack Eison didn't get a bid in the end, the Carlton Next Generation Academy prospect. We're not sure where Ollie Greaves ends up. He got past Hawthorn's picks, obviously been linked to them and Geelong as well. So, yeah, there's a couple of names that didn't get picked up tonight. Ludwig was another one that could have easily gone tonight in the end, but didn't. So, yeah, be interesting.
Noah Hibbins Hargraves as well, yeah. I reckon, is another one that could provide some serious value as that X-factor forward, really high upside type. Max King as well. I mean, at the start of the year, we were thinking, where could he land? Like, it could have been a potential top 10, and, you know, it would have been another top 10 prospect the Swans are trying to match, but just didn't quite have the year that he would have hoped. And Jevon Filippo, where does he land? That's going to be a very fascinating one, because on talent, he's probably, you know, in and around that top 20, top 25. So going to be a fascinating watch tomorrow night.
We know Ross Lyon has an interest in the younger Filippo, and he actually wandered in earlier tonight. He surprised me that he was here. Mm. I thought, oh, hang on, maybe the Saints have got something planned. But
nothing
like
in the end.
To just watch and wait and see what they do tomorrow night. So that's one to watch. Cav, we've spoken a little bit in previous drafts about this first pick on the second night, how it's become a little bit of a commodity almost. We talk about potential pick swaps. Do you think there'll be anyone who knocks on the Kangaroos' door tomorrow to try and get a hold of that pick?
Oh, I'm sure there might be, but whether or not they trade it out, as you said, they've got a few good prospects there that, and they need to bring in some more talent, and especially probably the tall talent, as we said. So, I'm sure they might get an offer or two, but whether or not they take that up, I'm not sure.
Well, that's all from us tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night for the other picks. Probably another 25 or 30 players to be selected on Thursday night at Marvel Stadium. You can follow along with all our coverage and analysis on the Code Sports and Herald Sun websites. Cav, Dan, see you again tomorrow.
See you, man.
See you in the corridor.
I'm Andrew Rule, host of the podcast Life and Crimes. The problem for the police was there were far too many potential suspects. They obviously couldn't all be guilty. And he went to the people next door and said, "Have you seen Shauna?" And they said, "No, no." And he rushed back to the house and went to Shauna's room, and there was Shauna, dead in her bed. This month on Life and Crimes, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.